Hi everyone, it's Jason and welcome to the JC Weather Podcast. It's Thursday, October 26th, and we're turning on the ACs in many places because we had a warm day, certainly for this time of year. Many climate sites got to near 80 degrees, and this did break a few records. Now, this does happen from time to time in autumn. It's not exactly a shocker to get a warm day here or there, but we're going to string another two of them together. And that is because this ridge off the East Coast really got amplified by what was Hurricane Tammy. Now, that's since dissipated to a remnant low, but that prolonged this ridging along the East Coast and amplified it and is slowing down a cold front. Now, of course, unsurprisingly, that cold front will get here in time for the second half of the weekend as the ridge gives way. So, can't have a dry weekend around here, no matter how hard we try. But it is going to be a warm couple of days. So Friday, we'll call it partly sunny. We'll see highs in the mid to upper 70s. Maybe someone touches 80 in the boroughs. And it'll be cooler out east with a southwesterly wind off the water. Fall back into the low 60s Friday night. And then for Saturday, we'll call it partly sunny and warm. We'll be in the mid to upper 70s. But we've got that cold front approaching Saturday night, so we'll be falling into the low 50s. And then that front is going to slowly make its way through the area. So temperatures will hold pretty much only in the low 60s Sunday, so some 15 to 20 degrees cooler. And we'll see scattered showers arriving in the afternoon, about a 40% chance. This trough is getting strung out, and we're going to have low pressure developing along it across the southeast coming up the coast. So it's likely that we will have a rainy first day or two of next week. And if we were to have a setup like this in winter with this cold air coming in behind the front, we might very well be talking about a snow event. And we are going to be releasing our winter forecast tomorrow on Facebook. So that is something for you to look forward to. Now, on the other hand, we were also talking about the tropics because they wound up featuring heavily in the way this week's pattern evolved in the east. But sure enough, we also had activity in the East Pacific, and that was Hurricane Otis. And this really caught people by surprise in terms of its intensity. Something about this was just not well modeled. So we've been observing some record warm sea surface temperatures across the globe. And these warmer ocean temperatures do result in more evaporation and more fuel for tropical cyclones. So very warm water resulted, definitely was a factor in this. And Otis also moved through an area of very low wind shear. That's a difference in wind speed and direction over a short vertical distance. So weaker vertical shear helps a storm grow faster vertically into the air. If that vertical shear is too strong, storm can't rise to its full potential and the cloud tops get blown away and the energy gets dispersed. So we look for winds that are generally traveling in the same direction throughout the atmosphere for a storm to strengthen. And this was the case with Otis. Now, this storm was relatively small, and smaller storms sometimes do have a better chance of getting strong. They need to spin, of course, to get their intensity. If we think about, take the analogy of a wheel, a large wheel requires more force to spin, while a smaller wheel would require less force. So smaller it is, the less force required to spin. So since Otis was such a small storm, it was able to, it was one of the reasons why it was also able to intensify as rapidly as it did. Also, had latent heat. So when water vapor condenses into clouds, the heat that vapor had before it cooled and condensed doesn't disappear. The heat gets released into the surrounding environment. So there's a lot of latent heat released from clouds within a hurricane's eye wall, as you'd imagine. So some of that heat does get released into the eye, and that additional heat lowers the pressure within the eye even more, causing the storm to strengthen. So if the atmosphere is right, the storm is strong enough, hurricanes can intensify themselves, so to speak. Now, this rapid intensification in general is not fully understood or fully modeled. There are definitely internal dynamics that we still have a lot more to learn about, but in any event, this was a very bad event for the people of Acapulco, and it didn't come with all that much lead time. The system definitely falls into the category of a rapid intensification scenario. It went from being a tropical storm to a Category 5 hurricane in 24 hours. Really off the scale in terms of rapid intensification. So lots of reasons why that happened. But in any event, this did make landfall right near Acapulco, which is a major tourist destination and a sizable city in Mexico. So none of the intensity guidance models really picked up on this. We saw signals for this sort of strengthening with hurricanes Michael and Ian and Ida and Idalia, but not with this one. So this is going to be an interesting case study going forward, and we do pray for the people of Acapulco. Remember tomorrow, again, as I said, the JC Weather, New York City and Long Island winter forecast is going to be released. I'm Jason, and thank you for listening. You can find out more on Facebook, as I just said, and also on our Patreon page at JC Weather.